God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth, no one can know the universe, to you be the glory. Hey, Linda. I'm alive because I'm alive in you, and it's all because of Jesus. I'm alive. It's all Jesus, I'm alive. Got the life of God in me by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on, let's sing it to the Lord. Giver of every breath.
Giver of every breath I breathe. Author of all eternity. Giver of every perfect thing. To you be the glory.
We lift our hearts to you, Lord.
Dead man's life.
we sing and we worship the Lord, if we do it half-heartedly, we get half the results. When we do it wholeheartedly, we mean every word that we sing. It's like it increases the spiritual, I don't know, blessing or the strength of it. And his presence is really strong and felt. And the strength and the answers and the life, it's there when we just give everything we've got. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your name.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain.
Thank you. worship Jesus. He's worthy of our honor. And when we turn our hearts to Jesus, that's where life is. Healing and deliverance in Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. We enter in by faith. We come into your presence, Lord, with rejoicing and singing. And we trust you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you're all I need. Yes, Jesus, you're all I need. Sing it to him now. Jesus, you're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. Jesus, you're a bag that we may receive. Okay, there we go. Go get it back for me. Thank you. All right, let's do receive tonight's offering. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to give. I thank you that you are the blesser. You bless us in every way. Lord, I thank you that tonight you will bless our pocketbooks. You will bless our accounts. You'll increase us like the word says. That's your idea. That's your plan. That's your will for us. Thank you, Lord, for creative ideas. We bless you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. You can be seated. Thanks.
Yeah, I tried to say that. Could you kindly get a bag? Good evening, everyone. I feel like the Lord wanted us to just turn our eyes towards him. And when we say, Lord, I believe you're my healer. You're everything. You're all I need. And you look to him, that is faith. That is the trust. When you're trusting in the Lord and your eyes are on him, you're trusting in him. Just like the Israelites in the wilderness when they had the serpent on the pole. And it said, whoever looks lives. And so when we turn our focus on him, we turn everything out, tune everything out, and just focus in on him. That's faith. And you say, I don't know if I have enough faith. Well, do you have enough faith in your heart to just turn your whole attention towards him and say, help me, Lord, I'm looking to you. I don't know what to do, but I'm looking at you. My eyes are on you. If you have that kind of faith, even if it's just a mustard seed size, it's just to say, I can't find help anywhere else. I'm looking at you, Lord. That's faith right there. So you don't have to have a boatload of faith. You don't have to have a truckload of faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd say into the mountain or to the sycamine tree and be plucked up and thrown in the sea. So all you need is a tiny bit of faith that even a little child can do it, can just turn towards God and say, God, please, and just gives a request and believes that he heard it, right? Faith is so simple, so easy. And that's what the Lord loves is when we say, Lord, I'm taking my eyes off of everything else and just tuning into you. Whatever you say, I'm going to do it. Whatever your will is, that's what I'm going for. And he loves that because he can work with that. He can say, all right, now I can do some stuff here because they trust me. They believe me. I'm going to show them how powerful I can be and just give them the things they need. But then we know that all the glory goes to him because we didn't try to figure it all out and we didn't go to a human being to try to get it help. God alone, God gets the glory, right? Yes. So let's pray and let's believe that the Lord's going to speak to our hearts tonight through his word. You know, the Lord can just break every chain through the Bible, through the word of God when it's opened up and we just dive in because the Holy Spirit is not just words. It's God-breathed things. He can inspire. He can turn me into a different person as the speaker, right? He can turn whoever the speaker is into a different person. You say, man, God spoke to me tonight. Because he can use me, right? As long as we have our faith out for that. So let's believe God that he's going to do that tonight. Lord, we look to you. Our eyes are on you. Our trust is in you. Our hope is in you. And we ask you tonight that you would speak to our hearts. You would do what only you can do. Lord, we are looking for miracles. We are looking for help. We are looking for wisdom and guidance. Lord, we thank you that your power, your word is powerfully anointed, and it will break and destroy the chains that are on us tonight and set us free by your truths, Lord. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we have been talking about the Lord being our shepherd, and we have Psalm 23 that you could probably quote, but if you'd like to look it up in your Bibles, Psalm 23. This is such... What was that? I see. Okay. You're the most sanctified. Okay. All right, here we go. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you know that the Lord used to be their shepherd back in the Bible times when David wrote that? Do you think he still is now in the 21st century our shepherd?
Yes.
I like that, yes. He is. Even here in the 21st century, he is still our shepherd. He still leads us. He guides us. He protects us. He cares for us, takes care of us. But it says after that, the Lord is my shepherd. It says, I shall not want. Now, you know, I think something really important to bring out here, when he says, I shall not want, he doesn't put any qualification after that. Like, he doesn't say, I shall not lack for provision, or I shall not lack for peace, or he doesn't put anything at the end of it. He just says, I'm not going to lack. Just plain and simple as that. I will not lack. So that means if the Lord is your shepherd, there is nothing that you're going to lack. There's another scripture in Psalms that says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly, which we don't have to walk uprightly because Jesus did it for us now in the New Testament, right? So no good thing will he withhold from us. No good thing. He said, I shall not want. I shall not lack. Anything. Praise God. Now, if he's a good shepherd, then that means we are going to be well taken care of. If he is a really poor shepherd, then we are just going to have to fend for ourselves. Right? Right? You know, I got to show you a passage in Ezekiel chapter 34. And I probably have brought this out before, but I just want to focus in on it again tonight. I feel like the Lord said, dig here. You know, like if you're digging for gold, he said, dig right here. There's some gold right here. Start digging. So Ezekiel 34, I'm going to start in verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, prophesy against the what? Oh, you're not in verse 1.
What verse are you starting?
Verse 1 or 2. Actually, I'm in right now. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, okay? So here he is, and he's not saying prophesy to them. He said prophesy against them. So this is not happy words from God right here. Okay, he said prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, and they do not feed the flock. Yeah, he said, I mean, number one fault he had against those shepherds. You feed yourself, you're taking good care of yourself, but you're not taking care of the flock that you're entrusted with, right? These sheep are under your care, and you're not taking care of them. You're just feeding yourself. And if you keep on reading, we'll see how it goes here. Verse 3, you eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. So that means basically they killed the sheep, they skinned the wool. And
you don't have to kill the sheep to get the wool.
Oh, okay, right. You don't have to kill the sheep to get the wool. Okay. But the next part says you slaughter the fatlings. So I do kill them that way. But you do not feed the flock. So here they are. They're having, what do you call sheep skin, sheep meat is mutton. Mutton. So they have mutton for supper.
Mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches.
Stop. We have to watch the Princess Bride movie. Mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. Okay. So here these are the shepherds of this flock, right? And of course, he's not talking about real animals. He's talking about the people, right? You know that, right? He's not really talking about to the shepherds. He's talking about the shepherds of his people, the Israelites, his God's people. So here they are. They kill them and they eat up all their mutton and they wear their stuff. I mean, they are taken really good care of, the shepherd. They're you know, got nice mutton belly, and I don't know. And they're wearing, you know, this fancy wool, right, clothing. And the sheep are really just destroyed. They are taken advantage of. You can't call it child abuse. You have to call it sheep abuse. But it's really what it is. Animal abuse. Okay. Let's keep going here, though. He says, but you don't feed the flock. The verse 4, the diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick. Now, this is the shepherd's job. He's getting onto them. I would not want to be in their shoes at this point, because the Lord does not have good words to say. He is rebuking them, right?
Yeah.
He's saying, come on, the diseased ones, you haven't strengthened them. You haven't healed the sick. What is wrong with you? Now, if the Lord is our shepherd, and he were to say that to under-shepherds, he's the great shepherd, but there are under-shepherds, he would condemn himself out of his own mouth if he himself did not strengthen the diseased or not heal the sick. If the sick were not taken care of, he would be a bad shepherd. He would have woes unto him, right? And so if he's going to say this to these under-shepherds, then he is not that way at all. You could reverse everything that's being said right here to see what a good shepherd we have, right? Because God strengthens those that are diseased. He heals those that are sick. He is a good shepherd. You don't see his flock walking around sickly, okay? You say, well, maybe they are walking around sickly. That's because maybe they haven't submitted to him to be their shepherd. You know, maybe they say, you're my Savior, Lord. You're my Lord, but I don't know if I trust you to be my shepherd. To guide me, I don't know, and take me through all these things. So if we put ourselves in his care, we say, God, I just throw myself into your care. You are my shepherd, and you claim him as your shepherd. He will be a good shepherd to you. If you say, I am not going to trust humans of any kind, I'm going to put my full confidence in you, God, and just throw yourself into his care, right? Into his keeping. I had a thought, but it's gone. So let's keep going here. He says, the disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. Man, even if a sheep just feels like they're lost, they don't know where they're going, they don't know who they are, they don't know where they're supposed to be, they're scared, they're lonely, they're out there somewhere and they don't know how they got there, Jesus will seek and save those that are lost, right? He said that's his mission. I came to seek and to save those which are lost. And he got it from Ezekiel 34, his mission. He says, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Cruelty is like harshness. That's that child abuse kind of thing, sheep abuse, animal abuse, where you have that cruelty and that force, and you just beat them instead of leading and gently guiding them and caring and tending them, you know? And so we see the opposite of what God is. But if we keep on going, let's see, verse 5, they were scattered because there is no shepherd. Now that just gets me. He's talking to the shepherds here, and he says, you've been really cruel and used a lot of force, and you've been beating the sheep, you've been not taking care of them, and they scattered because there is no shepherd. Well, how can he say there's no shepherd? They had a shepherd. But I guess with shepherds like that, you know, who needs enemies, right? Right? If you have shepherds that beat you up all day and take advantage of you, and take everything you have and steal from you, that's not even a shepherd, right? Basically, the Lord said, because there is no shepherd. He said, they're not even shepherds. They're not even shepherds if they're not taking care of the flock. Now, we're going somewhere, so hang with me here. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field where they were scattered. I mean, they became vulnerable to everything that came along, just plundered them, just ate them, they destroyed them, you know, and all kinds of things trying to come against them. He said, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. That's everywhere. And none did search or seek after them. Therefore, I like that, therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, you know, when he said that, he was like, he's saying, I swear, you know, basically is what he's saying. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd and neither did my shepherds search for my flock, because the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. Ooh. They're going to have to pay for it. That's what he's saying. You took advantage of my sheep, you are in trouble. Right? Isn't that nice to think that the Lord will defend you? Even if he puts leaders over us, and if they don't treat us right, God says, hey, I'm going to take care of you. Well, fire them and get some new ones in here, but he's going to take care of us. Aren't you glad we're in Believers Fellowship? We have good shepherds here, pastors, you know. We're in a safe place. We're growing. We're being fed. Isn't that great? I feel for people that have gone off and gotten into error and gone off, and they're just all messed up. I mean, you saw them 5 years later, they are just messed up. Bad, and they just don't have a shepherd. They don't have anybody to help and guide them and feed them. Okay, keep going here.
Because the shepherd didn't go after them,
maybe, or just because they wandered away and just left the sheepfold. I don't know. Let's see. So he says, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. So you're fired. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them. Isn't that a great thought? That the Lord feeds us. He feeds us. What do you think he feeds us anyway?
The word.
The word, definitely. You know, the word can be dry and crunchy and stale like shredded wheat. And it can also be juicy and moist like steak, yeah. You know? I think it depends on how you interpret it. If you just try to be under the old covenant, it will work. And you get under the new covenant and you see Jesus, what he did for us. And it just puts life in your spirit. Just feeds you. I you know, something else I bet that's on God's table. You remember in Psalm 23, he says, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. I wonder what's on the table. It's probably bread. You remember the children's bread? Healing is the children's bread. What's that, Matthew 15:26? It says, you can't take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. He was referring to healing and deliverance. Children's bread. Got some healing and deliverance on that table. Wonder what else. You've probably got some, the oil of gladness, the wine of the Holy Ghost, right? You know? And he feeds us. Don't you feel sometimes after you've left the church service, yum, that was good. You know, you just feel so satisfied and content and boosted. And I tell people this all the time when I'm out and about talking with people. I say, man, our church is so good because when you go, you feel like they put something in you. And other churches you go to, you feel like they just sap whatever life you had in you. They just sap it out of you. But God said, I will feed my flock. It's awesome. And you know, he probably doesn't just give you water and crackers, you know, like you're a prisoner or something. You know, he probably gives you the best. What is it in Isaiah 1:19? Is it 18 or 19 that says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land or the best of the land. So, verse 19, you can eat the good of the land when you're following God. Yeah. There's a difference between eating beanie weenies every night and ramen noodles, yes, and eating filet mignon and lobster, right? Okay, maybe that's not your thing, but still, God feeds us. That's your thing? He feeds us. Oh, sorry, Shannon. She had beans and hot dogs. Sorry, not picking on you. Okay, verse 15, he says, I will feed my flock. And I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, listen to this, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, I will feed them with judgment. The Lord is the good shepherd, and he is taking care of us. He feeds us, he nurtures us, he cares for us. This is what the Holy Ghost wants you to know. If you don't remember anything else tonight, remember this. Is it the sheep's responsibility or the shepherd's responsibility to take care of the sheep? So the sheep, they just do what? They just receive the care, right? It's not their job to say, I gotta do better. I gotta be a better sheep. Most sheep aren't that way. They just dig their heels in and buck against you. No, it is not the sheep's job to take care of themselves. Write that down. Never forget it. It is not the sheep's job to take care of themselves. Amen. What do you need a shepherd for if you're going to take care of yourself, right? You have a shepherd. He takes care of you. And he's good at it. He's not faulty. He's not negligent, right? He is not unaware of the problems that you're facing. He is very aware of it. And he will bring you to the operating table and work on you if he needs to. And he will pull the splinters out of your feet, and even if it hurts. And he will do all kinds of things that are necessary to make you a good, healthy, strong, thriving sheep. Right? How about we just praise him for that? Lord, thank you. You are a good shepherd to us. You are good, Lord. You're the best shepherd. You're a good shepherd. You take care of us. Thank you for all you've done, Lord. Thank you that you have more in planned for us, more in store for us. Thank you, Lord. What a good shepherd you are. You know, if you keep doing that and keep praising him for being a good shepherd, you'll see more of his care for you. You'll see yourself well taken care of, just being grateful for every little thing he does. You'll see it more. Now go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And let's start in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Isn't that funny that he says thieves and robbers? You would think it's basically the same thing. But I guess thieves steal from you, but robbers rob from you. Yes. You're quick. They do it more forcefully, and they ransack you, and they like just tear you up, taking your stuff away. So, I mean, it's like nice stealing and mean stealing, maybe. I don't know. May I please steal from you? No. Okay, anyways.
With a thief, when a thief, you know a thief has been there because something's missing.
Okay, a thief, you just find something of yours missing.
Right.
They're sneaky.
And a robber just...
A robber's out there.
And the robber is like holds you at gunpoint and right. says, "Give me everything," and beats you over the head and takes everything. Oh, yeah. And yeah, it's probably both. I don't know. Yeah, right. Okay, keep going here. Verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So you have him becoming a shepherd to you. He says, if any man enter in. How many of you entered into the kingdom of God?
Yes.
There you go. So you've entered into the sheepfold. And it says, you shall be saved. We're saved. Hallelujah. And it says, you shall go in and out and find pasture. So you have a good shepherd watching over you. But now look at the next verse. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy.
He can't hold you at gunpoint.
And I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Now we've always taken this verse and just isolated it. But it's if you look at the next verse, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This verse, verse 10, is sandwiched in between two verses about him being our shepherd. So every time you look at this verse now, you say, he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly because he's a good shepherd. He takes care of us. He takes care of his flock. He's a good shepherd. And I was thinking of the illustration that Keith Moore has given, and it's a good illustration. And some of you haven't heard it. So for those who haven't heard it, everybody else that has heard it, just listen again. Right? So imagine that you live in an area that's more rural and they have sheep and shepherds. And you grew up with the pastures and the fields and all that. And you're more familiar with that. And you heard all your life about this one particular shepherd that was the good shepherd. And one day you hear that that shepherd is crossing across the country to, he's taking his flock across country to another part. So he's going to be coming right past where you live in your town, your village. So you think, all right, this good shepherd, I've always heard so much about him. I've always wanted to see him, and now I get to see him. He's coming. And so you hear he's coming, you see the day arrives, and he's coming into your town, village to cross through. And you see him from a distance, and you say, all right, here comes this great shepherd. He's coming. I can't wait to see him. And when he gets in view, you see how magnificently he's dressed and how, just impeccable. His just walks so stately, and he just has that shepherd's staff, and he's just, and you think, man, everything I've heard about this guy must be true. He's amazing. And then he keeps coming, and you see the flock, and it's coming behind him. And when the flock comes into view, you get a look at the flock, and you think, whoa, what awful flock. Some of them are limping, and there are open wounds on some of them. Some, their wool is all matted down and nasty. Some of them look like they still have teeth marks from the wolf on them. You know, some of them, they have diseases in their eyes, and they're blind, they can't see, and they're just hobbling along and straggling along. And they're just malnourished. You could tell their skin and bones. And so you see this flock coming behind this, quote, great shepherd, this good shepherd. And what would you say if you saw this scenario? What would you say? He was Ezekiel 34. You would probably say, I don't care what people say about him. And I don't care how nice he looks. I can tell by looking at his flock, he is not a good shepherd. Right? The condition of the flock is a direct reflection on the shepherd's care. So here we are, his flock. And the condition of our well-being reflects on our good shepherd, the Lord. If we're not well taken care of, it's a slam on him, right? Like I said, we're not out to take care of ourselves. He's the shepherd. He takes care of us. I'm trying to tell you that you have a shepherd watching over you, taking care of you in every detail of your life, and you don't even have to lift anything to cause any blessings to come to you. He is the blesser. We are the receiver. It's so one-sided, isn't it? It's like parents with children. It's so one-sided. The parents give to the children until they finally get old enough to be a blessing back. But it's like that. We are just humble little sheep, the sheep of his pasture, and he is the good shepherd. Now, let's forget about that wrong shepherd. Let's describe what the good shepherd. What do you think? Okay, let's say that Jesus is the good shepherd, and he got first place every year in the Good Shepherd Awards, right? All the awards go to him every year because he is the best shepherd. So what? Let's describe what the best shepherd would be like. He knows. He's knowledgeable. He's done his research. He knows what we need.
What's consistent.
He's consistent. Very interesting. So he's not like good sometimes and then has a bad day and kicks you sometimes. And he's consistently good. I like that. What else would make him?
Compassionate.
He's compassionate, man. What a word to think that his heart goes out for his sheep. If we kept on reading in John chapter 10, he says, I lay down my life for my sheep. I'm not the hireling. I'm not just here to earn a paycheck. He's compassionate. He feels what we feel as sheep. What else would be a good shepherd? I suppose if you're walking in divine health, that would be a good reflection on your shepherd, huh? What, Tim?
Well, I heard Barry preach years ago. He said a good shepherd leads the sheep where you drive cattle. You know, cattle is a drive cattle.
That's true. You drive cattle and you lead sheep. So he walks before you.
Example.
You know where it says in Psalm 23, your rod and your staff, they comfort me? Because he takes that staff and he'll, the little hook, and pull you back in place. And he'll break away all the underbrush to help you get a path to get through. He'll beat the wolf in the head with that rod, right? And so, yeah, taking care of us like that. What else? What else would make him the best shepherd, award-winning shepherd?
How he guides.
And he's willing to lay down his life. If you think of somebody that is willing to give their whole life for you in order to make you successful, what can you even say? Thank you doesn't even seem like good enough words, you know? And that's who he is. That's the compassion he has, is that he is willing to lay down his whole life, his whole agenda, everything he has in order to make you thrive. Perfect love. Yeah. Unending is the truth. He's an unending God with everlasting love. Man. Praise God. You know, sometimes in this service, we'll tell you certain things you need to do. You're like, you need to rebuke the devil, get the sickness off your... But right now, tonight, I just feel like there is nothing you need to do except just believe it. Just believe that he really is a good shepherd. And if you believe it, you don't worry so much, right? He's going to take care of me. I mean, if he doesn't take care of me, he's got some woes coming to him, right? Woe unto you if he doesn't take care of me, right? Wow, that just gives you such confidence to think, you know, that the Lord is going to take care of me. He has to. He is the good shepherd. I mean, if you think about it, he created shepherds. any shepherd there is patterned after him, because he is the ultimate shepherd. He is the original shepherd. You know that him being a shepherd was first mentioned in Genesis when Jacob was talking about, was prophesying to his sons and said that, about the shepherd of Israel, calling him shepherd. So, I mean, it goes from before time. He's our shepherd, takes care of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I feel like the Lord tonight, he's always this way. He is always, let me say, if I can give you fancy words for it, aggressively benevolent. He is aggressively benevolent to us. He will run, like Pastor used to say all the time, he'll chase you down and kiss you right on the lips. He'll just chase you down and bless you. And I feel like the Lord has that desire tonight. If you would only just say, okay, Lord, and not fight him, and just say, I receive it and believe it. And his healing power is for us. Is there anybody here that needs something from the Lord right now? You need to receive something. Healing, deliverance, financial stuff, whatever it is that you need. Is there something that you need? Because the Lord, your shepherd, wants you to receive. He wants you to receive tonight. Anybody? Wow, you guys are well taken care of, I guess. No, no, seriously, is there anything that we can bless you? You got something, Tim?
Yeah, more direction.
All right. Well, he's a shepherd. Yes. I suppose you've learned how to hear his voice, huh?
There's just something, you know, about you that ticks me off.
No, I don't believe that. You know, Brother Hagin, even though he was well in his 80s, he said, I really wish I could learn to be more led by the Spirit. You know, something like that. Do you remember his words? Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking, Brother Hagin, after all these years and how much he's taught it and how much he's walked in it, I guess you never get to the place where you feel that.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Well, the Lord, your shepherd, he wants you to prosper, to be successful, and he wants you to flourish in your life. There is his hand that's going to come on you and just guide you and show you. I feel like there's like a spirit of understanding and wisdom that will come upon you, and you'll have the knowledge of what you're supposed to do.
Good.
And
good.
Wisdom, yeah, that knowledge. You know, there's a verse, Proverbs, I have to look it up, where he gives you the knowledge of witty inventions.
Hmm.
Did you know that's in there?
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah. Google's the best way to find a verse, that's for sure. So he gives you knowledge of witty inventions. And it's just, think about the creativity and the wisdom. But I feel like there is a calling in your life. There's something that you are called to do.
I got to put my finger on it, yeah.
Well, no, he will show you. He will show you. He doesn't make you go search it out all by yourself. He speaks to you. Usually, I'm in my heart when I'm talking to you, I feel like he speaks to you at night or in the early morning or when your mind is really, really quiet. Mm-hmm. Have paper and pen next to your bed, because he will speak to you. And it may not be words. It may be an impression or a thought or a picture. that he'll give you. And just write it down. And don't treat it lightly. Don't say, oh, that's so little. Because it usually starts really little and gets bigger.
Right.
Even if it's tiny, even if it's just a little step. Okay. That's why he's going to give you like a step. Next thing. Yeah. You need something, Rosalie?
Yeah, I want to trust that Jesus for everything and not depend on government
for your subsidies and stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, take my hand. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray right now you release funds, release your flow of finances to her, that she will be set free from living off the government right now. We believe on this very night that something will break. And something will begin. And that from this point on, she will go upwards financially. I thank you, Lord. Give her the strength to work, to put her hands to something. I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Ha 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 ha. There's a verse, and you have to look it up too. I think it might be Psalm 112, but I'm not sure. It might be verse 12 of one of the Psalms. It says, the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. The Lord will increase you. So that's your verse. Take it and say, Lord, you are increasing me. You said in your word, you will increase me.
Thank you, Lord.
And hold on to that.
Okay. Ah. Thank you, Lord.
You want to hear testimonies, girl. Even like I told Tim, even if it's little steps, even if it's just look for that and take the next steps that the Lord guides you to, step by step.
Expecting.
Yes, and write down today's date because we received it by faith right now in the spirit. It always starts in the spirit first and then works its way out in the natural. Anybody else need anything? You guys are so...
My daughter, she's saved.